Welcome back to Start Kyle Orton. I'm Travis. Kyle is here with me. We have taken a little bit of a sabbatical from normal episodes the last few weeks. We've talked about quarterbacks in the draft. We've talked about our own quarterback. Before we start getting into everything that's happened with the Bears over the past couple weeks, Kyle, today, exactly today, is the one-year anniversary of us starting this damn thing up again.
Is it really?
Oh, this man. Is the start of season two of
this is, Start Oh, this Kyle is Orton. Officially season two. Okay, so we're just going to go with the league year approach. Okay.
That's right. That's right. We start right. with free agency. If we season talk about free agency, two. New season.
Season two of Start. Wow. I'm proud of us. Look at what we've done.
Hell yeah.
I have to say, a lot more people have tuned in to this than I ever dreamed we would have after a 9-year layoff, especially when we're not anybody. So that's been cool. So thanks to everybody who has listened.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for the feedback, everybody. Jesus.
Yeah, especially for teaching me, for those of you who literally sent me DMs begging me and instructing me on how to literally reduce my feedback and stop assaulting your ears. With my microphone, which is a good microphone. It just needed a little work, and I'm tech illiterate. So
that's right. Major shout out to tech support out there on Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that all of you are like, look, I really want to listen to what you have to say, but you're so loud. Please make it stop, because that made me feel good. But yeah, no, so we're going to dive right. We're going to take a little brief break from the quarterback draft preview stuff, although we are going to talk about couple quarterbacks in today's episode, not in the draft preview way, but just in the like, hey, there's some quarterback shit happening around the league and with the Bears. Next week, I do think we'll try to finish JJ and the rest in just one last quarterback draft episode before we start probably then reacting to free agency as it happens, and then we'll start rolling into actual draft prep for other positions, because I have been so focused on the spreadsheet this year. It is the best version of it we've ever had, and that's been a lot of work, but it also means that I have not gone in depth on any other position. I've just barely started looking at wide receivers. Now, mind you, that was enough to know, unlike Travis, who does not know ball, my cursory research was enough to know that, like, Roma Dunza is a lot better than Keon Coleman.
Your numbers for Rome, holy shit.
He saw no difference between those two, and that's okay. I mean, not everyone knows ball, and that's part of, this is an educational podcast.
I mean, we'll talk about this when we come up to the wide receivers, but as I said last year, wide receiver is the one position where I can tell you, yeah, that guy, really going to be good. And everybody else, it's a crapshoot, yeah. Man. I don't know.
True.
But yeah, we're not talking about wide receiver. Kyle, we got to talk about a cornerback.
That's right. We got to start talking about who's shutting them wide receivers fucking down. And they paid that man. They paid Jalen Johnson. He's got his money. And I feel pretty good about that. So what were the actual terms of the contract here?
It was 4 years, $76 million, 54 guaranteed, I think.
I don't think it was. Hold on. Well, 54, I think, might have been total. The full guarantee was 43, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So, that's an important number, because obviously I think what Jalen and the Bears were both kind of looking at sort of as a reference was the Denzel Ward contract that he signed with the Browns a couple years ago. And that one had, because in the NFL, what it really comes down to, any contract, ignore all the other numbers, focus on that fully guaranteed number.
For sure.
And for Denzel, 2 years ago, that was $44 million guaranteed. So for Jalen, he got 43.5, I think, was what was fully guaranteed at signing. And so for Jalen, that's a win, because he can look and he can say, I got Denzel Ward money. For the Bears, it's a win, because the truth of the matter is that in NFL terms, with the cap increasing and everything like that, if you got the same amount that a guy got 2 years ago, you actually got less. This was not a market resetting, and I think that's what the Bears were trying to avoid doing. I think that Ryan Poles obviously meant it when he said they wanted to keep Jalen, that they valued him. But I also think, you know, Jalen has some injury concerns. He's always missed a little bit of time every year. This was his one. He's been good every year. This was his one elite season. And so I think they were a little hesitant to reset the market and pay him, you know, the kind of contract that you'll probably see Sauce Gardner get a year from now. But at the same time, Jalen was right to say, hey, I was literally just the best corner in the NFL this year. I want to be paid like a top corner. And so for them to kind of settle on, like I said, the Denzel Ward guarantees kind of as a framework, Jalen can hold his head up high and say, yeah, they valued me as much as the Browns valued Denzel Ward. The Bears can say, yeah, when you consider that the salary cap's gone up like $50 million since then, we still came out pretty good on our side as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say an incredible deal. I hate how they break this up into guaranteed money at 54 and guaranteed at signing of 43.8. The only one that matters is guaranteed at signing. Why do they report in guaranteed? Like, that's guaranteed if they choose to guarantee it at a later date. Folks, that's not guaranteed money at all. That's the opposite of a guarantee, in fact.
Do I think Jalen will almost certainly see the full 54? I do, but yeah, for sure. I agree. It's the fully guaranteed at signing is the number that everyone really haggles over.
Just a little gripe for me. I mean, average annual value, this makes him a top 10 corner, but he's somewhere like 7th, 8th, 9th. And that's a huge steal for a guy who was the best corner in the NFL last year. I know he usually misses a couple games every season. You know, hey, maybe we get lucky and he doesn't do that moving forward. I know that may have driven it down a little bit, but in the end, I mean, one thing I was thinking about when they signed him, this was kind of the final piece of the puzzle for us when we got Montez Sweat, right? We were like, man, this better not piss off Jalen. We better be able to extend him. And here it is.
He's locked in. Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up because, yes, we both said that our final grade of the Montez Sweat trade was absolutely going to be contingent not just on whether they extended him, but whether they could also sign Jalen. Because we said, if what you did was you ended up losing Jalen Johnson to add Montez Sweat, you didn't really get better at a defense. You just swapped where you were getting worse. So, right. So to be able to get Montez Sweat locked up and still be able to get the Jalen deal done is big. And it leaves the Bears with very few holes on defense. I know a lot of people want them to make a big splash signing on the defensive line, and I kind of do too. It would be cool to land a Danielle Hunter or a Huff or even Christian Wilkins, in my opinion. But I think I might be one of the few people who's not going to be really mad if they don't do that. Like, I think if you can't get one stud pass rusher, or to borrow the term that Rex Ryan liked to use in a book that's one of my favorite, by the way, if you guys ever are looking for a really good football book, just a behind the scenes of what it's like in the NFL book, my personal favorite is a book called Collision Low Crossers, where a guy got to follow along with the 2011 New York Jets. There's a lot of really good stuff in there about how the NFL works, but also a lot of good stuff in there about Rex Ryan, who, whatever you want to say about Rex, legitimately one of the best personalities in NFL history. But Rex always liked to refer to as a bitch kitty pass rusher. Mm-hmm. Just a guy who can just generate his own pass rush, create for himself. I would love if the Bears were truly able to land another bitch kitty opposite of Sweat. But those guys, I mean, the whole reason they had to trade a second-round pick for Sweat and lock him up is because those guys just don't hit free agency very often. And I think, you know, Danielle Hunter, the fact that he is in free agency now, I still think he's a good player, but there's a reason that even last year the Vikings worked out something last minute rather than let him go. Like, they knew that that was probably the last of his best years, and they made sure they kept him for that. And the fact that they have to let him go, not saying he's not going to be a good player, not saying I won't be excited if the Bears manage to land him, but that's a complimentary pass rusher at this stage in his career. Bryce Huff is a specialist. He's a very good specialist, but he's a specialist complimentary pass rusher. There aren't too many of those guys in free agency that you could find, and I really don't want the Bears using the 9th overall pick on that either this year. So might just be one of those situations, in my opinion, where you just throw depth at the problem. Maybe you go out and you get a Greenard or an AJ Epenesa. You know, you sign another quality defensive tackle. You just keep trying to up, you know, keep dragging, as we keep saying, to borrow from Nate Tice, keep upgrading different groups from shit to not shit. If you can replace Justin Jones with an average defensive tackle instead of getting sub-replacement level production in there, that's a big step up in your rotation. If you can replace Rashem Green, or even, I mean, I hate to say it, Yannick Ngakoue was ass last year. If you can replace one of those guys with a league average defensive tackle, plus, you know, you're hoping you'll get a full year of Sweat, you're hoping for some progress from Jervin Dexter, who came on strong down to the end of the year. You're hoping maybe Zach Pickens might be something. I'm not going to be super mad if they don't add a big piece on the defensive line in free agency, even though a lot of people would be. What about you, Travis?
Yeah, there are a lot of guys. I think this is kind of a deep pool of, like, specifically defensive ends, and it's specifically a deep pool of guys who are kind of, like, all the same. Like, Danielle Hunter is the top end of it, but they really are all just pass rush specialists. You know, there are so many dudes here who are able to get to the quarterback and really, like, just sort of a liability against the run. Like, I think Danielle Hunter's best year against the run might have been last year or the year before. Still not very good. He's not very noticeable in run defense. But you look at a guy like Chase Young, like Bryce Huff especially. Bryce Huff is that to a T. But the list just kind of goes on and on. And like you said, like, are we really going to be that upset going into this year if we don't have what would literally be, like, the final piece on this defense? Because we're going to talk about going into free agency. The other thing that's great about free agency this year is we're really deep at safety. We're really deep at center. There are going to be bargains at both of those spots. We aren't going to have that many holes here. So if you go into this season and you're plugging in DeMarcus Walker at defensive end, if you're plugging in, you know, a very safe quality signing at defensive end, the guys who we would get at that spot for, like, a quality signing, not a big splash, way better than Rashim Green or Yannick Ngakoue this year.
I mean, they finished 17th in DVOA on defense last year, and that's with being the worst defense in the NFL for the first month of the season. That's with not getting Sweat until the second half of the season. And they were 17th. And you know, I think we all think it'd be really cool if they made the playoffs next year, but if they are truly taking Caleb Williams, and they are, and we'll talk about that here in just a second, you know, everything does not need to be in place in 2024, and I would rather be smart about your resources so that you can, the years where they should be, in my opinion, going all in and legitimately all in, max out the cap, commit everything while Caleb Williams is cheap, or 2025, 2026, 2027, they better be ready to strike during all of those years. And so I would rather wait. You know, next year you're going to have a first-round pick in 2 seconds, possibly. You know, who knows what else you're going to get along the way. If you need to get a pass rusher next year, get a pass rusher next year. But, yeah, I think if they can just keep upgrading the rotational pieces on the defensive line, and this is a good market, like you said, to be buying at safety, they should have options there. But, yeah, it would be cool. I'm not going to sit here and say I don't want Danielle Hunter or that I wouldn't be excited about Christian Wilkins. I don't think you need to be upset if they don't walk away with a major signing like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you go down the list and it's a Jadeveon Clowney's out there we could use for a year. Marcus Davenport would be cheap this year, and it's going to be kind of, you know, the same situation, like a pass rush specialist. Leonard Floyd is hanging around out there. Had 10.5 sacks last year. Like, these guys are just these kinds of defensive ends that this market is flooded with. They're just not as highly sought after anymore because, I mean, I don't want to get into it too deep, but it feels like a lot of guys have specialized themselves in this way because they were taught this is how you get paid in the NFL. This is what you got to do. Go out, get sacks, and you'll get paid. The market's just flooded. You know, supply is much greater than demand. So if the Bears wait and then pick up a guy, you know, later on at defensive end, I think that's fine. We looked very good at defensive line last year. Jervin Dexter improved dramatically, and you've spent a lot of capital on the inside of your defensive line. It's definitely, like you said, I would be over the moon if they signed Wilkins, and then, you know, we had the good problem of trying to figure out where to put Jervon, or if we signed Danielle Hunter, and I, you know, we had like a really devastating pass rush. But yeah, it's not a requirement for me. The requirement for me is filling that hole at center, settling the offensive line, drafting a wide receiver at number 9, I think, at this point. Nope. Kyle's gone. He's gone. He's disappeared into the ether. I expect him to bounce off that. So,
God damn, so, yeah. I'm muted. Sorry. I'm muted. I'm trying to mute so that you people don't fucking hear every little sound in my room and everything while Travis is talking, and then I keep forgetting to unmute.
It's hard.
I do think if they do sign a multi-year deal to an edge, I honestly think it's more likely, in my opinion, to be Jonathan Greenard than
Bryce. If Houston lets him get away.
But yeah, but at the same time, like for 2024, do I think you could keep your powder dry and get similar production again? Like you said, from a Jadeveon Clowney, from a Za'Darius Smith. You know, I think Josh Uche is a guy worth taking a flyer on as a pass rush specialist.
Yeah. There's so many. There are so many names. It's so deep.
It is a good year for Ryan Poles to do some bargain shopping at the areas where he needs help. Let's transition into this too. Because even though the Bears just traded a 5th-round pick for Ryan Bates, I still think they should be buying at center in this market. I think Bates. I like the Bates move. I know some people think that a 5th-round pick's kind of rich for a guy that I think is your swing interior O-line, but I do think Ryan Bates is a pretty good swing interior O-line. He's still relatively young. He's only 27. He has played well. He has been an average or better pass blocker, especially whenever he's played, and he's got almost 1,000 career snaps. It's not like he didn't play very much pass blocking snaps. I mean, it's not like he didn't play very much this year because the Bills drafted Osiris Torrance, and they had some really good depth, and they didn't have a lot of injuries on their O-line, which was nice for them. But he's played well when he's played. He can play left guard, he can play right guard, he can play center. And you and I have been big. I mean, I'm not going to criticize this move from Ryan Poles when you and I have been big saying since the start of since our first fucking episode last year, 1 year ago, saying if you have Nate Davis and Tevin Jenkins as your starting guards, what you actually need is a 3rd guard.
Right.
And I think Ryan Bates can be that 3rd guard, and he's not a washed, broken-down veteran like Cody Whitehair was. He's not Lucas Patrick. You know, Brad Biggs seems to really believe that giving up a 5th-round pick for him means that Poles views him as a starting center, and that could be true. I'm not saying Brad Biggs is wrong. It could be true. I just don't think that's necessarily what it means, and I still think this is they needed to upgrade the depth on the interior badly anyways. I mean, because if you think about it, they're effectively, they need to replace Lucas Patrick, Cody Whitehair, and Dan Feeney, which was a real waste of a ham sandwich there. Bates fills one of those spots. They still have 2 others to fill.
Right. Speaking of Feeney, I think I'm of two minds. I'm of two minds here. So the last 2 off seasons, the way Poles has tried to fix the interior offensive line has basically been the same, right? Wait until people cut some guys and then bring them in and hope that some mixture of these over-the-hill free agents or guys who we already have on the roster is going to take care of it, take care of center specifically, take care of backup guard when Tevin Jenkins is down, or last year when Nate Davis is down, and it hasn't worked. What I would like to say is he's learned his lesson, and what he's done is he's traded a 5th-round pick in a draft where the 5th round kind of sucks, and he's done that to bring in the backup, basically a guy who can play both guard spots and center as a backup very competently. A guy who he wanted before, signed to a restricted free agent tender, and then the Bills matched it. That's what I'd like to say, but I'm jaded. I have seen many a Bears GM, I might say every Bears GM, make the same mistake over and over until they get fired. So there's also possible that he just didn't begin, and he was like, all right, this is my guy. This is our center. We have 2 starting caliber guards, and we are good. We are moving on. We are on to Cincinnati. I I think, I want to think he's better than that. I want to think that what he's actually done here is he's got basically a dedicated backup interior offensive lineman. That's who Bates is. And especially because, kind of like we alluded to, the market on the interior offensive line in free agency, and specifically center, like just center, is lit. Like there are a lot of centers available right now.
Deep. Hold on, where's the...
We've got, like, the Bills just cut Mitch Morse. Like, that would be fabulous. That's a top 15 center last year. Connor Williams is out there, and if not for a torn ACL.
I'm glad you mentioned Connor Williams. Because here's one, if I'm getting a little tinfoil hatty, here's one thing that I think is interesting. Connor Williams tore his ACL. That's possibly going to artificially depress his price. But he also might not be ready for the start of the season. So who is a guy, if you wanted to get Connor Williams long-term for cheap... But you wanted a guy who could, you also felt comfortable starting in September while Connor Williams got back into game shape. Who's the kind of guy you would pick up for that, Travis?
Yeah, I mean,
would
this is the guy.
Would it be a guy with experience at both guards and center in Buffalo?
Sure.
Would
it
be the guy who Buffalo thought was their center and waiting for a while? I think it might be. So I think that's something that I think would be really cool is if they managed to get Connor Williams awfully cheap because of that injury. When he's still young, still very athletic, should rehab just fine, but isn't going to quite be ready at the beginning of the season. If you've got Ryan Bates as your interim center until Connor Williams is ready to take the job back, and then Bates shifts to being, you know, reserve guard, I think that's awesome. I think that could be a really good plan.
That's fantastic. And then that's what they do.
Yeah, and the other thing I thought is also, like, I'm okay with the Ryan Bates move if he's your starting center in September. If you have a path to getting another second round pick or to taking a guy in round three, because this is a good center draft as well, according to people I trust, as long as you're going in the first three rounds, which is a problem for the Bears because they don't have a second round pick at the moment. So that gets a little tricky but I'm willing to wait. If they don't sign another center free agency, I'm willing to wait and see what they come out of the draft with. But yeah, I my preference would still be that Ryan Bates is just the swing into your O-line, and there's still a move coming for, you know, a Lloyd Cushenberry or a Connor Williams. Connor Williams, like I said, Connor Williams on the cheap with Ryan Bates just kind of as your interim center. I think that's a shrewd move and a good way to take advantage of an artificially depressed market for Connor Williams. I would think that was great. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good centers on the market right now. They should come away with, I mean, Tyler Beatties from Dallas, another solid option. There's a lot of guys. Evan Brown, not the world's best center, but has familiarity with Shane Waldron's system, obviously. There's some dudes. So I still would hope that they come out of free agency with a center.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I think the only situation in which I'm upset with this one is if it does end up being the move. If he's like, that's our starting center. That's not what he said. He hasn't, like, there's been no word from him. And I will say in the past, Poles usually comes out and says, yep, that's the guy, that's the plan. You know, that's it. That's not what he said here. I do not think that is the plan, and I'm hoping that's not wishful thinking, but yeah, just with all
but we
the
did this yeah I mean
market.
We did this last year when they in free agency they only signed Nate Davis, and we were like, what's the plan at center? Are they really just gonna, like, they can't just be shuffling Cody Whitehair and relying on Lucas Patrick, right?
I mean, we were sure they wouldn't do that, and yet they did. So there's always that possibility that this is just how the GM thinks, right? He's always gonna do this. But yeah, I mean, just with the absolute... The other thing he is he's shrewd, right? The reason we miss out on some of these guys is because he's like, this is the contract you're getting from the Bears, and that's kind of it. And in this market, I think that is going to avail him well. Last year, it didn't because we were kind of thin at spots. Guys got overpaid, for sure. There are people regretting some contracts that were signed last offseason, including us on one. But yeah, this year, there are going to be some dudes, if you wait past the first day of free agency, past the first 2 days, there are bargains out there at center, there are bargains out there at safety, bargains out there on the edge.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really guess I intended this to be our free agency target, but I guess, yeah, it might as well be. So let's talk about, let's just transition real quick, because I think there's one other position where we for sure want the Bears to come away with at least one guy in free agency, and that's wide receiver, right?
Oh, not safety? Not where we need a starting safety?
Well, you just mentioned safety. We've already covered
it. Oh, that's true. That's true.
Like a, there are 15 safeties right now, and if the Bears signed any one of them, I'd be like, cool, that's probably an upgrade over Eddie Jackson gave us. Not to knock Eddie, he just wasn't... It's almost ridiculous
to like start listing the names at safety. Just literally, if they sign a safety, Bears fans just be happy. Like, we got a decent safety, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, so right now, I mean, for God's sakes, Kyle Duggar, technically he's not a true free agent, he's on the transition tag, but still... Xavier McKinney's out there.
Yeah.
Geno Stone, Julian Blackman, Jordan Fuller, Jordan Whitehead, a lot of Jordans. CJ Gardner-Johnson, Deshaun Elliott, Tashawn Gibson, Alohi Gilman, Darnell Savage. I wouldn't really want Darnell Savage. Mike Edwards, Jeremy there's like the Micah Hyde, even. God, wouldn't you love to be reunited with your old friend Micah Hyde, Travis?
The one Iowa Hawkeye I have poor memories of. but the point is, just pick one.
I'm sure it's going to be Julian Blackman, just because the Eberflus connection is there. He obviously knows this is
that would make sense.
But yeah, I mean, that you just throw a dart and hit a safety and sign him, and you should be fine. But let's talk about wide receivers.
Sure.
Obviously, the big names are already off the board, as we expected. You know, I never really thought Tay Higgins could potentially reach free agency this year. Michael Pittman's got tagged. Mike Evans signed a contract. But, I mean, right now you're looking at, you got like Hollywood Brown, Calvin Ridley. It is unfortunate for me that this relationship is very soured, because I don't know about you, I would happily bring back Darnell Mooney. I really would. I am of the opinion that, especially as a wide receiver three, I would hope he would be a wide receiver three purely. They would be getting a Neighbors or Odunza in the draft. But I'm still, and I got yelled at a lot on Twitter for saying this, but if you watch the tape, I'm still of the opinion, especially early in the season, there's a lot of plays where Darnell Mooney's wide ass open, guys. There's a lot of them. A lot of plays where he is streaking, but because he is the second target, the second read for a guy who doesn't make a second read, Justin Fields missed him or threw it late or didn't see him at all.
The first half of last season, Justin was missing Cole Kmet wide open in the middle of the field.
I would take Darnell back, but I think that relationship's sour. I don't think it's happening. But anyways, Calvin Ridley, if they wanted to make a... How would you feel about if they spent actual money on Calvin Ridley and then like traded down from 9 versus going to get one of those guys? How would you feel about that?
No, if you sign Calvin Ridley, I think you go ahead and draft Dallas Turner. We'll talk about Dallas Turner later. If he's there, some people see him going before the Bears pick. I have some concerns that the Bears are going to be missing out on these three wide receivers if they stay at 9 as well. So it's an interesting spot for them to be in. Personally, I just prefer to stay away from Calvin Ridley. We've also, like you said, Hollywood Brown. Curtis Samuel's out there. I love Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, I think Curtis Samuel is a really good option for that. I think, you know, he fits best as a wide receiver too, fits best in the slot, but is a guy that I think can be an effective outside wide receiver sometimes when you need him to be as wide receiver too. Samuel makes a whole, and the contract projection from my guy Brad Spielberger on PFF, who is usually very, very close to right on these things, 2 years, $8.5 million a year with only 11 guaranteed. I mean, that's an easy contract there. Samuel makes a lot. I mean, not sexy, wouldn't want to roll into him with as wide receiver too, but assuming you are making a wide receiver move in the draft to get your true wide receiver too, that guy to me is a solid wide receiver three option. I kind of like, I guess he tore his ACL. I kind of like Kendrick Bourne. I always think he's been let down by the Patriots offense a lot. But yeah, I mean, there's, it's another one. There's some good Noah Brown.
Yeah, Tyler Boyd's out there. Tyler Boyd, the consummate third wide receiver.
The only problem I have with Tyler Boyd, and it's not a problem I have with Tyler Boyd, he is a true slot-only guy.
Yep.
And Shane Waldron really likes to move his slot guys inside and out in motion a lot. So Boyd, I don't know that he fits that very well because he's not a guy who will ever line up outside a lot. So
more of a Samuel or Mooney kind of guy then.
I think, like I said, it sucks that they've... I think that there is too much blood in the water there. I don't think it's happening. That relationship's been ruined. But it bothers me because I think the best value wide receiver on the market right now is going to be Darnell Mooney.
It probably is.
He's going to sign for 1 year, $9 million. He's going to fucking go to the Chiefs. He's going to have like a 1,200-yard season with Mahomes and make bank. It's going to happen.
Oh, God. He'd be a perfect
Nagy, Chief. You know Matt Nagy is just dying to have his guy.
Oh, you're right. Nagy's there. Oh, shit. He's going straight to the Chiefs.
Do not pass go. Do not. He's going to. Never mind. Kansas City.
Get him out of your head. He's a Chief. Yeah.
But, like. He's not coming back to the Bears. I mean, I think he and Ryan Poles are pissed at each other. I don't. Like, that relationship's ruined. It's just a shame that it's ruined because, like, if everyone could think rationally here, I think he's better than he showed last year. I think Fields hurt him more than he hurt Fields, and I think he'd be a great option guy who has been a wide receiver two, is best as a wide receiver three, gives you a little flexibility in the draft, and I think Caleb Williams is a guy who would do a lot better job at finding that third option than we have traditionally seen Justin do. So,
yeah. Well, you've said his name three times. You said Justin Fields three times. You just mentioned Caleb Williams. Should we move off a little bit of the free agency preview and talk about what's been going on with them?
So let's talk about the big news there. I don't think this is a surprise. It's, God help me, I'm on Twitter and it's still a surprise. That means that people are just still refusing to believe it. But guys, it is all over but the crying. Caleb Williams is the next quarterback of the Chicago Bears. Dread it. Run from it. Destiny arrives all the same.
Yep. Yeah, as you know, if you've been following the podcast, I've been just like, we're drafting Caleb Williams. There's no alternative. Like, I just don't see it. But it seems like even the members of the media who have some knowledge of the Bears, who were holding on to the Justin Fields dream, have just kind of been coming out and saying, the Bears are drafting Caleb Williams. And that's kind of it. That seems to be about as locked in as it possibly can be. If you want to know why we think that's a good idea, Kyle and I, we have a whole episode about Caleb Williams. We got a whole episode about Justin Fields. I'm sure Ryan Poles feels very similarly there. Now, one of the issues is going into this offseason, we were holding out some hope that other teams didn't see it that way. Everybody thinks differently in this league. Seems like the Fields market is kind of depressed at this point. It's not entirely Justin's fault, though. It's the presence of other quarterbacks being available, right? He's still muted. I don't know. There you go.
It's unfortunate for the Bears and for Justin that they are trying to move him in a market where the free agent options at quarterback are better than they usually are in any given year. Because, I mean, technically, Baker Mayfield has not re-signed with Tampa yet. So if you're a team out there right now, you're thinking maybe you can sign Baker. And if there's anyone out there who doesn't accept that Baker Mayfield is better than Justin Fields, you'd need to do a little bit of a reality check.
Yep.
Baker Mayfield's been, other than the second year of his career, he has been a solidly above average quarterback every season in which he hasn't shredded his shoulder like
except for the year, and I yelled about this at the beginning of the season. We were talking about Baker, except for the year where the Browns let him get hurt and then ran him back out there and let him get hurt worse and then threw him under the bus
for it. Yeah, so Baker Mayfield's solid. He's in, and he's potentially, you know, still on the market. Kirk Cousins, you know, nobody quite, I keep hearing, there's no way Minnesota lets him go, followed immediately after by, oh, him to Atlanta is basically a done deal. But there are teams out there salivating over Kirk Cousins. I think if there's any way Sean Payton can make the cap shenanigans work with an $85 million dead cap hit for Russell Wilson and sign Kirk Cousins, I think Sean Payton would do that. So these teams are going to look at Sean. They're going to look at Kirk Cousins first. They're going to look at Baker Mayfield. If those guys don't hit the market, then we might see a little more hope for Fields. But there's also, you know, Ryan Tannehill is only, I mean, he was bad last year, but he's only a year removed from a year in Tennessee where he, you know, 7.6 yards per attempt. He was still pretty solid. And it hurts, obviously, that, you know, Arthur Smith is the new offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh, which seems like a logical Fields destination. But who did Arthur Smith have his most success as a play caller with? Is Ryan Tannehill. And Ryan Tannehill's right there in the free agent market. You've got Russell Wilson as a free agent, and Russell Wilson willing to sign at the vet minimum because Denver's cutting him a $50 million check anyways.
Yeah.
And so that really complicates things because, in a vacuum, would a lot of these people say Justin Fields is more talented and a better gamble than Ryan Tannehill, than what's left of Russell Wilson? Maybe. But those guys don't cost you a draft pick. They only cost you money and probably not that much.
And you get more than a year out of them if you want.
Yeah, and it's a very complicated situation because I've seen a lot of people just incensed at the idea that Justin Fields could go for less than Sam Darnold went a couple years ago. But I think we can talk about the ugly truth maybe a little bit of why the league is not as high on the untapped potential of a guy like Justin Fields as they were on a guy like Sam Darnold. But the truth is, these play callers, these offensive coordinators really like to believe in their systems. And they really like to believe that their systems can fix a guy, which is always the appeal of a dude like Sam Darnold, versus having to fix your system to help Justin Fields. Because, you know, I think I called it the gremlin rules. I think we've accepted at this point that Justin Fields has a specific set of circumstances in which he can operate effectively, and he's not very good outside of them. You have to have some heavy play action to nullify the pass rush. You have to have wide receiver talent because he likes to only throw outside the numbers. You have to incorporate designed QB runs to move the chains, basically as a replacement for a quick game in your offense. You have to do all these things, and it takes a big commitment of personnel and philosophy to do these things with Justin Fields.
Unfortunately, if you have all of those things and you're like, I want to put a guy in this system, there's a guy who does that better and who's willing to play for the vet minimum out there right now. There is basically the better version of Justin Fields. He's older, and he had a bad season 2 years ago, but he was fine last year. And yeah, he's not going to cost you anything this year.
People are in denial about... I've seen a lot of people be like, why would anyone want Russell Wilson over Justin Fields? Guys, Russell Wilson threw for over 3,000 yards last year. He had 26 touchdown passes and just 8 interceptions. He completed 66% of his passes. He also still ran for over 300 yards and had 3 touchdowns. The man had almost 30 touchdowns last year. And he was, I want to say, 20th maybe in success rate, 18th in EPA per play, which is, you know, those are slightly below average. But as we established in our Justin Fields episode, Justin was below all of that. It's true if you're, you don't see a future with Russell Wilson at this stage of his career, but I think the cold truth is a lot of teams don't see a future with Justin Fields either. He really, to me, the only situation that kind of still makes sense for Justin Fields, at least in terms of a team that you might hope might still give us a decent draft pick for him, I think New England is still very far away from being able to just plug in a quarterback and go. And I went over all the reasons why Jaden Daniels I think especially would be a really bad idea for a team that has a bad offensive line and doesn't have wide receiver talent that can win outside the numbers. So I think if you're staring at using the third overall pick on Jaden Daniels, or keeping it, trading down from it, getting a haul, you know, and then maybe trading like a second round pick for Justin Fields and seeing if there is anything there. And if not, just buying yourself a couple years before you then go get your actual quarterback makes sense for me. That's about the one scenario I still see. Maybe the Giants, if they get squeezed, because we're hearing the Giants really would like to, if nothing else, find some legitimate competition for Daniel Jones. God, can you believe it's so funny how these things happen. Like, here's Pittsburgh, 2 years after drafting Kenny Pickett, realizing they need competition for them, realizing it's not working out. Although apparently they haven't realized it enough, because they still want it to be a competition. They still want to believe that Kenny Pickett can figure this out. And I'm kind of just like, what is he going to figure out? Like, what is it? Because you weren't here, you son of a bitch. But I was talking about Jaden Daniels last week. These older quarterback prospects and how the story on them changes so quickly. Because the argument for drafting Daniel Jones was that, okay, he doesn't have the best arm. He doesn't have the best tools. He's not super talented. But he's played 4 years at Duke under this David Cutcliffe. He's NFL ready.
Right.
And then he played as a rookie and he looked terrible. And it immediately shifted to this narrative about his untapped potential and all of the stuff that he could do in the right situation. And I'm like, that wasn't even the lie you told when you drafted him.
Yeah.
You guys were the ones saying, yeah, no, he's not the most talented kid in the world, but he's pro ready. That was your only selling point. And then he turned out to not be pro ready. And you just immediately pivot to, oh, he just, you know, like he's Josh Allen or something. Like, there's a secret reservoir of talent inside Daniel Jones just waiting to be unlocked. Right. And the Steelers doing the same shit with Kenny Pickett. They're with Kenny Pickett. The whole argument was, well, he's played 5 years at Pitt. He's in a pro style system. He's ready to go. He's going to hit the ground running. And then he fell flat on his face immediately. And the narrative 3 years later is that, oh, we've got to give him a chance to figure it out. What's there to figure out? He's shown you everything that he is. It's not like he's flashing all these raw. I mean, like, rookie Josh Allen was a complete and total clusterfuck, but there were 4 or 5 plays a game where you were like, holy shit. If he ever figures out how to do, even Justin Fields, man. Justin Fields has teased and flashed elite talent. Kenny Pickett's never even done that. It's been a big ball of suck every week. His entire career, there's nothing to hang your hat on. Literally, he throws touchdown passes at a lower percentage than any quarterback in NFL history. Through 2 years, it doesn't get you. There's nowhere, you don't go up from there. I mean, he might throw a couple touchdowns and go up to the second worst, but like that, you don't, no one's come out of a hole that deep, guys. There's nothing there. Let it go.
Yeah, I mean, at least with Jaden, you know, there's something to hang on to, right? It's like, he has all this athleticism. He's got arm talent. Like, if I could just harness it, like, sure, yeah, you and I are both in agreement. He would have, you know, done that by now because he's old. But man, Pickett and Jones, it's just like, there was never that hope. There was never the idea that they had all of this latent potential. It was that their full potential had been unleashed and you were just going to be able to plug and play them. And still here they are. The Giants, especially, gave Daniel Jones so much money for nothing, for absolutely nothing. And now they're like, oh, shit, we need to bring in someone else. Well,
it's
floated to me like, oh, you go ahead.
It's so funny also, like, how that one move just kind of forever undermined the legacy of Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. Because it was like, right up until that contract was signed, it was like, these guys are the next great NFL brain trust. Brian Daboll is one of the creative offensive gurus and Joe Sheed. They're the face of the new Giants. These guys are the smartest guys in the room. And then they signed Daniel Jones to that contract, and everyone immediately was like, no, never mind. You guys are dumb as fuck. You gave it away. You had this reputation as brilliant, and you just immediately pissed it away because you have to be that stupid to bet on Daniel Jones, not knowing that a year later you would be right here.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it is frustrating, but it's good in the sense that both of those teams are looking for another quarterback to add to the room, someone to, you know, either,
yeah,
I guess, hold Pickett and Jones' feet to the fire, or more likely usurp them, and then they can just move on from everybody the next offseason.
Yeah, a thing that I think I would love with the Giants is, like, all right, tell you what, I will give you Justin Fields just to move up from 9 to 6. I'll do that. You want it? Competition for Daniel Jones, that's fine. Swap pick 6 with pick 9. Let me lock down for sure either Roma Dunza or Malik Nabers. I'll do that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Deal. Done in a heartbeat.
Yeah, without question.
Because, yeah, I mean, the way these wide receivers showed out at the Combine, specifically the way that Roma Dunza showed out at the Combine, he may have leapfrogged Malik Nabers at this point, but it's starting to feel like none of the top 3 wide receivers are going to be available at 9, and maybe if the Bears are dead set on one of these guys, they do need to kind of move up a bit. And that Giants pick sure seems like the one to do it with.
Yeah. Now, it is... I go back and forth on as to whether one of those wide receivers will be there at 9. And we can talk about this more later. Because, like, the smoke sure seems that there are going to be 4 quarterbacks in those first 8 picks, too. So it would literally have to basically be 4 quarterbacks, 3 wide receivers, no one offensive tackle, no defenders for the Bears to get squeezed like that. And I mean, and I looked at in the history of the draft, I don't think it's ever happened where there hasn't been a single defensive player taken in the top 8 picks. So I still think it's more likely than not that one of them will be there at 9. I know that seems crazy right now. I still believe that, but I would do the pick swap with the Giants to, if nothing else, hopefully maybe even give you a choice of which one you want. You know, if you move up to 6, you might be looking at Nabers or Odunza, and you get to pick whichever one you want. And my gut tells me right now that's Odunza. But still, I mean, I would do that in a heartbeat. But otherwise, yeah, I'm not. I wish that I could say I'm surprised by how disappointing the Fields market has been so far. I'm really not. I mean, we've been dealing with this for the last couple months since you and I moved on, and especially on Twitter. Like, there is just this deep state of denial among so many Bears fans about what Justin Fields is, realistically how far he has to go, how he is perceived by the league at large versus fans. And people always quote opposing players who've had to play him. And it's true, but if you are a linebacker, it's probably a pain in the ass to play Justin Fields and to have to spy him and to have to track him down. But players are very myopic. They are very zoomed in on one small part of the puzzle. They do not take a wide view. Defensive coordinators around the league, I really don't think, sadly, are losing sleep about facing Justin Fields the way you wish they were. And it just it makes sense. Because, I mean, honestly, I think if you asked 32 NFL GMs whether Justin Fields or Gardner Minshew was a more talented player, 32 of them are going to say Justin Fields. But if you ask them, would you rather have Gardner Minshew for not much money, who can come in and just run your system as it is right now, has proven that he can caretake a team with a good defense to the playoffs, or would you rather trade a second or third round pick for Justin Fields, have to consider his fifth year option, have to do this, have to do that, have to change your scheme, do all that? They're gonna take the Gardner Minshew option. It sucks. I understand no one wants to hear it, but that's most of them are gonna do that math. It is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I think the big issue in this draft, it's really going to hinge on the Patriots, right? Like, everything rests with them. If the Patriots stand pat and they take Marvin Harrison Jr., I think the Cardinals are just taking whatever wide receiver they want next. I think the Cardinals are taking wide receiver regardless. And at that point, the Bears have to get kind of freaked out because it's a long way to 9 from there with only one of these guys left. And I think that's part of where Justin Fields comes in. Like you said with the Giants, can we use him to just move up 3 spots? Can we do something to get another pick to use that to move into that area where we can get this wide receiver? Those are the things you start to think about because, the price on Justin has come down. Now you're just thinking, like, can I optimize some kind of value with Justin Fields if his market is this bad?
I will say it is interesting. I have seen 3 separate mocks. I think one of them was Dane Brugler. One of them was Nate Tyson, Charles McDonald of Yahoo. And there was one other one. I can't remember off the top of my head. I've seen 3 mocks since the combine, and all 3 of them had the Bears trading up for a wide receiver. So there appears to be some smoke that they might legitimately be considering. Part of me wonders if that was, because we talked about Caleb Williams making reference to the Bears having another first-round pick when he was leaking things. Part of it is I wonder if that was part of their discussions with Caleb, if they were like, look, we want you to want to come here. And Caleb said all the right things about the Bears, too. I think they're like, look, we'll try hard to get you another weapon, too. We want to make sure you're comfortable and you land when you step foot on the field. You've got DJ Moore and one of these studs with you, so you'll never be alone. And I'm sure that sounded pretty good to Caleb Williams. So
you'll never be alone here, Caleb.
You'll never be alone. This is your home.
Yeah. I mean, well, the other thing is, if you guys saw the combine, Odunze ended up being kind of the story of the combine because, first of all, the other 2 wide receivers didn't participate. They're going to do their own pro days. But the other thing is, not only did Odunze go out there and show out, he also just kept retrying the broad jump after everybody had gone because he just personally knew he could do better and he wanted to improve on his own. And you're looking at this guy and you're remembering the stories about what the Bears put Darnell Wright through last year just to prove that he would be worth that pick. And then you're looking at Odunze and you're like, ah, shit. Like, this is a Ryan Poles guy. Like, if there's anything that I know about this guy, first of all, he's going to be a high RAS guy. I haven't actually looked at this card yet. I'm not sure where he ended up grading out. But also, you look at the work ethic on this guy. You look at the advanced stats, like the catch rate on this freak, on this machine. And it feels like, this is the kind of guy who Ryan Poles might want to trade up for in this draft.
9.69, by the way. 9.69 for Odunze.
It's almost a lock.
He's a Poles guy. He's as Poles guys can get.
Yeah, this is the kind of dude that I think Ryan Poles would want to trade up for. We'll get into this more as we get into the draft stuff, but Poles definitely seems like the kind of guy who locks in on a dude that he wants, and he tries to massage the position so he gets the most value out of getting that guy. That's what he did with Darnell last year, just trading down 1 pick and being like, sure, you want Jalen Carter? Fine, take him. I want Darnell Wright. Getting a little bit of value out of that, and I think in this draft, I am like all but certain that he is locked in on Odunze, and he may just need to move up to make sure he gets that guy this year. Oh, let's see. What else do we got? I know you had one more thing you wanted to talk about. You wanted to talk about tiny linebackers, Kyle. You wanted to talk about little, small linebacker men.
Well, let's talk about a little less thing about the wide receivers, because we did talk about the importance, about trading up, and I think that's possible. Don't think it would upset me. I think the other option entirely is if those 3 are off the board at 9, I would then trade down and get a late first and try to get a second, because I do think this is an insanely stacked wide receiver class. I think if you can move back down a little bit, too, there are 3 guys that I like in the top 10, and then there are like 6 guys that I would be happy with anywhere between pick 20 and pick 40. So I don't think all hope is lost if they don't land one of those top 3, as long as they are then able to trade down and hopefully get a 2. Because, man, these guys were showing out. I mean, there is... first of all, if Al Davis was still alive, how quickly do you think he would be fitting Xavier Worthy for a Raiders jersey after that 40?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
That was my first thought. Mitchell. My first thought was like, man, if Worthy had run that 40 time in 2007, Al would have traded everything to get him. Just like, give me the 4.240 kid. But yeah, I mean, A.D. Mitchell looks really good. I like Troy. I think I kind of like Troy Franklin a lot in that next tier of guys.
Yeah.
Ricky Pearsall's a real freak athlete from Florida. It's deep. I kind of wish the Bears had a second round pick, and I'd almost say, hell, just double dip. Just take two, you know, build a super freak wide receiver core of the future. But,
yeah, I think it depends on how free agency shakes out. Like I said, I'm a Dallas Turner fan. But, man, there is one move down that I really think would pull a haul back. And if J.J. McCarthy is sitting there at nine, and we can dangle him to the Rams and Sean McVay, I feel like that is like a match made in heaven. That is my one true destination for J.J. McCarthy, to sit maybe behind Stafford for a single year. And just like get J.J. McCarthy at a Sean McVay offense in year two.
Oh, I think if J.J. is there at nine, the Vikings at 11 will be calling. I think the Broncos at 12. I think the Raiders could technically be calling as well. I think if J.J. is there at nine, yeah, the Bears will have options to trade down for sure. Because yeah, I mean, I would think in a situation where all three wide receivers are gone by nine, that probably means that maybe four quarterbacks didn't go. So then, yeah, maybe J.J. is on the board at nine. And then, yeah, you're in a prime spot to trade down. There are probably going to be options. And I'll make fun of you a lot for Keon Coleman, but I still think Keon Coleman's very intriguing to me. He's just not a guy who's intriguing to – he's not a dude who's intriguing to me in the top 10 like those three are, but like, I mean,
he's the Quentin Johnston of this draft. I think look at him and you're like, wow, there's a lot of potential there, but he's got like this one serious drawback that could make him worthless in the NFL.
He struggles a little bit with like catching the football and separating. Is that important? I don't know. Studies are inconclusive.
Is it good if you only try on 30% of the snaps that you play? Yeah. That good?
But no, I mean, like, if they're at nine and there are trade back options to 12 or 13 or something like that, that's where I would consider, you know, a Brian Thomas. I kind of like Ladd McConkey. A.D. Mitchell, yes. Troy Franklin. I think Roman Wilson's pretty good, dude. Underrated because Michigan doesn't throw the ball. Keon Coleman. Jalen Polk, he's probably not a guy I'd like that high, but I wish they had a second round pick. Polk is totally a dude I would take in the second round. Xavier Legette, guy I'd love in the second round, not so sure about in the first round. There's so many of those dudes in this
draft. It's deep at wide receiver, and if not for the three guys at the top being as overwhelmingly good as they are, I would say you should have already traded down. Yeah. You should have already handed this draft pick to whoever won it, who was going to give you a second round pick in their first, you know. But the reality is, the three guys at the top of this draft, and the guy who we don't talk about at all, Marvin Harrison Jr., is like as close to, he's probably the best wide receiver prospect I've ever seen. Like, so there's also something with the Patriots there, man. You guys want to trade down? We've got the ninth pick. We've got other stuff. There's all kinds of stuff that the Bears could do with that number nine pick in this draft. It's a very flexible position. So, yeah, that's the wide receivers. Did you want to talk about your tiny linebackers?
Yeah, I mean, this is just, there were two linebackers at the combine this year, two, who weighed even 240 pounds. Where have our thumpers gone, Travis?
This made you so upset.
Where can they be? It's so funny. You die a young rebel represents guy, or you either die that or you live long enough to see yourself become an old man yelling at clouds. And like, you know, you and I were teenagers when the air raid started taking over college football. It was so cool, and we were like, yeah. And then now we're in this world where everybody runs that goddamn gimmicky Tennessee deep choice offense shit, and there's all of this stuff, and it's the linebackers weigh 220 pounds. They're basically glorified safeties. It's nobody's running the triple option anymore. Travis, we must return. I keep thinking if Bill Belichick gets another job somewhere, he's going to be the dude to do it. He's going to just get an offensive line of beef-fed Wisconsin boys, all of them 350 pounds, and he is just going to run the ball down the throats of the Kalijah Kanseys and your 230-pound linebackers until they cry, until they respect smash-mouth football. But yeah, I mean, the game is just changing so much, and we're reaching, you know, football is cyclical. We're reaching that paradigm shift, I think. There is going to be the day coming soon where somebody just looks at all these light-in-the-box defensive tackles and linebackers and says, fuck it, let's just run the wishbone at them.
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. We're going to talk about Kalijah Kancey coming up because he sort of changed my perspective on how I evaluate defensive linemen. But that'll be in a couple of weeks. You know, one position group in free agency we didn't talk about that is also just absolutely rotten with talent is running back. Like, there's just Pro Bowl running backs, All-Pro running backs, superstars out there. And there's nobody freaking wants him. I have seen rumors that the Bears remain interested in Saquon Barkley. Does that interest you, Kyle?
No, thank you.
All right, excellent. do we have anything else?
No, I think that's a good place to stop. Yeah, I will.
Yep.
I will respectfully decline.
Isaiah Pacheco did win a Super Bowl, so let's all remember that. Running back.
He was a seventh round pick who cost no money. Yeah, absolutely.
And who is bad? I want to be clear. So yeah. All right. I think that's enough. We've previewed.
You think Isaiah Pacheco is bad?
He's not good.
All right.
I don't know if we need to go into Isaiah Pacheco right now, but yes, compared to every running back available right now, yes, I would say he is bad. I know that Chiefs fans hate him specifically because I know too many Chiefs fans.
Well, but that doesn't mean they're not I mean,
they could be stupid. On the other hand, the Giants just released Saquon Barkley. The Cowboys let Tony Pollard
4.7 yards per carry at his career, 53.6 per success rate. I mean,
he's got Patrick Mahomes. I don't know. Are we what is this? Is this Peyton Manning running back issue? Is this
maybe, but like, yeah, I mean, and I wouldn't sit here and tell you Joseph Addai sucks either. Like, I'm not gonna make him out to be
numbers Khalil Herbert had. Like, those numbers come out, and I'm just like, yeah, but like, I don't know what those even mean at this point. And the point is this: you can just pull a running back out of your fucking ass, and you're set. You don't need to pay him $8 million, you don't need to pay him $5 million. You can just find one, don't worry about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see you next week, folks, when you get to hear more about J.J. McCarthy.
We're going to talk about J.J. McCarthy. And I might talk about Jaden Daniels a little bit, because I definitely think they're in the same tier. Anyway, yes, we'll finish up with quarterbacks next week. And then, yeah, we're going to have free agent news, hopefully. We're going to have additional draft coverage leading up to the draft. We are fully in the off season. Welcome to season two of Start Kyle Orton. I'm fucking jacked.
Let's do it. All right, bye. In the Delta, way out on that bumper road. Now you know I'm leaving Chicago, and people I sure do hate to go.